Well, 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 here we are on air. And I've got a producer and an apprentice producer in the studio with me because I'm too stupid to press the appropriate buttons. And I understand. I understand. Both don't want to be named because they're ashamed to be here. I understand that also. Now, busy, busy, busy week, young people. Well, I'm being facetious. Only old people listen to the Anarchist World this week. Although I did meet a young listener in regional Victoria on Friday last week. That was pleasant. Now, accidentally, at a treasure sale. Now, today, if you could make it, 11:30 a.m., we'll be presenting a Eureka Australia medal to Eve Scarfe here at 3CR in the kitchen. So hopefully you'll be able to make it. And if you can't, that's all right. There's also Eureka Day on the 3rd of December. Now, tonight I'll be doing a presentation at the Footscray Hotel at 48 Hopkins Street in Footscray. Remember, they only sell grog. They don't have any food. So bring your own food. You're allowed to bring your own food. I'll be doing a presentation on the Anzac myth, the 1st of August 1914 to the 11th of November 1918. Learn about Australia's real history during World War One. I'll be adding this to the other presentations I've made over the last 2 years regarding forgotten radical Australian history. If you go to the YouTube channel, josephtoscano.narm, N-A-A-R-M. Now, what else have we got? I'll be doing a presentation on the afternoon of the 25th of April. I'll give you some more information about that. I think in Thornbury, regarding the Italian anti-fascist movement in between the world wars in Australia. Been asked by an Italian-based organisation to talk about that. So I'll give you an invitation to that. Now, next week, 22nd, nothing. Can't believe it. The 29th, dinner at Frankston, La Pulquetta's. Please come along. What we do is we have a series of dinners around the city. For listeners to 3CR, come along, meet like-minded people. Sometime it can be very socially isolating. It's not about giving lectures or presentations or pressing the flesh as politicians do or kissing babies. Not that we've ever had a baby turn up. It's about just meeting other like-minded people, having a good conversation and getting rid of the Zoom zombies that you've got to put up with on a day-to-day basis. I've seen so many social media zombies in the last few days walking around the streets. Sometimes I think they should be executed, but that's a different story. And then we've got here at 3CR, the Talk Back with Attitude crew will be doing May Day all-nighter from 12:30 a.m. to around 5-6 a.m. on the 1st of May. That's a Friday. And after that, at 11 a.m, I'll be doing a May Day walk through the city. But we'll talk about that later on. The sacred cows have wandered in. They've got their garlands. They're singing. They're dancing. Off we go into the ether. We're going to join...
Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning. As the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed mind.
Welcome to the Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia on the National Community Radio Satellite. Listen to the Anarchist World this week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. Listen to analysis of local, national, international events. Listen to analysis you'll never hear anywhere else.
to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of those wonderful people in Sydney at the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. It is heard across Australia, multiple community radio stations, some live, some pre-recorded. Keep listening. What can I say? I've got an interesting program. If you get bored during the program, go outside and get cold, all right? That's what I suggest. Now, anarchism, anarchos. No, it's not the chaos we see in the Middle East. Anarchos means without rulers. The anarchist struggle is the struggle to create a society without rulers, not without rules. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people and kill people because they feel it's in their national interests? Inequalities in power and wealth. So the anarchist struggle is the struggle to devolve or share power and the struggle to hold wealth in common and use it for the common good. Simple concept. Motherhood statements. But when you use the word, it's as if you are invoking, you're opening the gates of hell. The gates of hell have been opened by those people who exercise power in our society. Now, I'd like to start off the program by talking about divided nation. Yes, I understand that divided nation is getting a little bit of traction, and it's even bypassing in certain sections of society the Liberal Party, that ossified free trade, corporatisation, globalisation, deregulation, privatisation monster that we've had to put up with for decades. Well, I've got bad news for all those people who want to vote for divided nation because they think it'll be the beginning of a new dawn. That's right, a new dawn. Now, divided nation are false messiahs, or should I say fake messiahs. Because what is it in their pathetic range of policies that has anything to do with improving the lives of people? When you see the leader of divided nation standing beside the Washington buffoon, you begin to understand it's the same concept. Now, divided nation is nothing, nothing to offer people apart from hate and the creation of a divided community. That's why I will never use their name on air, because it makes me sick. It's not about one creating one nation. It's about creating a divided nation, a nation divided on the basis of religion. That's right. On the basis of whether you're a First Nations Australian or not. On the basis of your gender. On the basis of your sexual orientation. But there is nothing in their policies which looks at the economic divisions which have been created in the society where we've seen over the last 50 years the corporatisation, deregulation, globalisation, privatisation brigade, which includes the Alternative Liberal Party, commonly known as the Australian Labor Party, the current federal government, and the Liberal National Party, well, the old Liberal National Party. So if you are thinking, or you know people, not that I think anybody who's going to vote divided nation would listen to the Anarchist World This Week, it may actually open their minds to different reasons they find themselves marginalised and ostracised and don't feel part of the Australian society. We're in the same position. It's because of inequalities in power and wealth. It's because the parliamentary agenda has been seized by the 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication. It's because we've been conditioned like Pavlov's dog to to fight over the crumbs which are brushed in our direction off the corporate table. Divided nation is nothing more than another alternative Liberal Party masquerading the Australian Labor Party, nothing more than a Liberal National Coalition. Same policies in terms of their economic agenda, in terms of them assisting people to break the monopoly, the 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange, communication, have on each of our lives. It's interesting, isn't it? We've got this huge discussion currently about petrol prices, diesel prices, increasing inflation. But do we see the legacy media, or to a significant degree, asocial media, talk about the real reasons we find ourselves in this pickle? It's all about the government's response, not to the Israeli United States war criminals that have opened up a front in Iran, which has implications for each and every human being on planet Earth. Unless you're living a traditional lifestyle, you don't need petrol. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. So if you're at a family gathering, or if you're down at the pub, if you're having a, you know, down at the park, and people are telling you about the glories of divided nation, how the country will pull together, just throw in a verbal hand grenade and ask them how their lives will improve. How their lives will improve. When you've got a party that, you know, puts out a hand to those that are ostracised and marginalised and offers them nothing, they're nothing more than fake messiahs. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. Now, I haven't spoken much about the National Party, the new leadership change, and it is interesting because I've noticed that Senator Kavanagh from Queensland is making old new again. He's got a new coat of paint to paint over the national colour. You know, I think it's yellow and green, or is it white and green? I've forgotten, but it's green. There's a lot of green there, obviously, but they're not greenies, are they? But in terms of their agenda, they've gone back to the Blackjack McEwen days. Blackjack McEwen was the Deputy Prime Minister to Robert Menzies. And they're really, what would you describe as agrarian socialists? They were formed during World War I to provide some support to Billy Hughes, that traitorous president. Prime Minister, my apologies, but to support farming people. And obviously farming people in those days were small farms. You had some huge conglomerates in northern Australia in the cattle and sheep industry, but the great majority of farmers were small farms. Many were soldier settlements. These were land which was given to people who had served in World War I as a reward. And their policies was about forming cooperatives in the agricultural and grazing section to protect the income of those involved in that production. But with mechanisation, what we've seen is the economic destruction of small farmers and small graziers. And what we've seen is the domination of the National Party agenda by agri business, huge conglomerates, which are not interested in maintaining the integrity of the smaller farmer, but are interested in creating a farming and grazing sector which is almost totally dependent, not on local consumption, but on exports. Now, I've got nothing against food being exported to parts of the world that need food at a reasonable price. But the fact is, the National Party, or what's left of it, considering Divided Nation's objective to destroy the National Party and take over its regional seats, the National Party has decided it needs to sing to a new tune. And that new tune is an old tune. It's about producing material in Australia. It's about possibly re-establishing cooperatives in various parts of production to protect people during bad seasons. It's about production. Now, obviously, the National Party hasn't completely changed its tune. It still thinks that the climate emergency is a hoax, and it still thinks the increasing problems faced by their constituents in terms of dealing with the climate emergency don't exist. But the fact is, because they're seeing their heartland cannibalised by a Divided Nation, which is using a racist agenda to promote its myopic viewpoints, the National Party, unlike the Liberal Party, has decided that enough is enough. And irrespective of what you think of Mr. Kavanaugh, or Senator Kavanaugh, the fact is that the National Party is moving in a new direction which is totally opposed to the ossified remains that you find in Liberal Party, in the Liberal Party currently, both at the state and national level. So let's see where this leads. Let's see whether the National Party planting its flag firmly on the ground and having policies which may have some economic impact on regional Australia, positive impacts, can actually halt the rise of Divided Nation. Ah, well, look, I knew this a long time ago, and obviously you've been an anarchist world this week, listener, you'd know this. Now, the Washington buffoon has been reincarnated as the light shines out of my ass messiah. Now, I did notice that there was some artificially generated cartoon-like figure of the Messiah with rays, you know, coming out of his hands, healing, in his own words, the sick. Now, if there's one thing the world has learnt regarding a presidential system, the fact is that a president elected by the people, as we see in France with Macron and the Washington buffoon, has extraordinary powers, which basically make both houses of parliament in the United States, the Congress and the Senate, almost irrelevant unless they're willing to arc up. Now, the Washington buffoon, as we know, is creating havoc in the United States of America. And it may be, but I got my doubts, it may be that the people in the United States of America, or an increasing number, are beginning to wake up to the fact that the Washington buffoon is nothing more than another fake messiah. But in his situation, it's not that the rays are coming out of his hands and he's, you know, blessing the world. The fact is that it actually, the sun shines out of his asshole. So I would like to call him the sun, the light shines out of my asshole messiah. And the trouble is, there's only one room for one messiah on the planet. And when you've got a few messiahs, it becomes a little bit crowded. Now, it's interesting that the Washington buffoon has been able to do something that nobody has been able to do for the last 1,000 years. And I'd like to congratulate him on this. I thought I'd never say this on the Anarchist World this week. We saw the Islamic State in Iran offering their support to Roman Catholics, talking about blasphemy. Isn't that extraordinary? The Washington buffoon has been able to do something that nobody else has been able to do, is bring both Muslims and an increasing number of Christians together to upturn his administration. Extraordinary. Now, but the fact is, it's real, isn't it? It's real. People are dying every day. Not just dying in terms of being bombed back to the Stone Ages or threats to destroy a whole civilization, but dying in terms of suffering because of the ridiculous policies that have been promoted, not just by the Washington buffoon, but all those people around him, those corporate giants, those yes men and women, those weak-kneed members in the Congress and the Senate, who are happy to be bathed in the light that shines out of the Messiah's ass. Extraordinary. Well, and again, another thing that the Washington buffoon did, which is not even Adolf Hitler did, that's right, not even old good old Adolf, you know, the ultimate mass murderer, attacked the Pope directly, not just in terms of a stupid cartoon, but in terms of his inane ramblings. You listen to the Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. Now, I'm very interested in seeing the, how shall I put it? I'm very interested in seeing what happens to the Liberal Party. Now, I know a lot of people are saying they're going to win the election, the state election in Victoria, courtesy of the divided nation crowd, because obviously they'll get together, not like the National Party, but that's a different story. But I did see the leader of the opposition, some non-entity, I've forgotten his name, who was Dutton's right-hand man, who was responsible for the decimation of the Liberal Party at the last federal election. Let's not forget the National Party held all its seats. It was the Liberal Party that was reduced to almost a rump. And it was interesting that they removed Susan Ley and actually reinserted into their ranks a failed parliamentarian as their new leader. Now, although the National Party seems to be moving in a new direction, the ossified remains of the Liberal Party continue to beat the privatisation, corporatisation, globalisation and deregulation drum in an attempt to win back a few votes from a divided nation. They've set up their first part one of their new migration policies. And I was excited to hear about Australian values and that visa holders, not just migrants. I wonder if it's tourist visas, I assume. Forget about looking at your social media blurb. I think I wouldn't get anywhere if people looked at my social media blurb. But I'd have to stay in Australia, wouldn't I? Australian values. And I thought, I think this lad, I've forgotten his name, some non-entity, who was Dutton's right-hand man, who led to the destruction of the Liberal Party at the last federal election, by what I describe as a lacklustre alternative Liberal Party, masquerading as the People's Party, the Australian Labor Party. So some Australian values, and I thought I'd like to add some Australian values to the questionnaire, which will need to be filled in online, of course, by people applying for visas. Things like our refusal as a country to acknowledge the barbarism, the brutality, and the genocide of this country's beginning as a Western nation. I'd like to include that. That's an Australian value, isn't it? We just had a referendum recently and we couldn't even be bothered giving, you know, First Nations people a little spot in the Constitution so they could advise, not tell them, but advise the federal government. Couldn't even do that. Pathetic. Really. So that's a good Australian value we should incorporate in the questionnaire. Now, another Australian value with Anzac Day coming up we should incorporate is the fact that myths are more important than facts. I assume that's an American value, but it's also an Australian value. I think we should incorporate the idea in Australian value that history begins when we wake up in the morning. How's that for an Australian value? Because with Anzac Day coming up on the 25th of April, we'll be hearing about, you know, wars, especially World War I. And we'll be told it was a struggle for liberty, democracy and the defence of Australia. Obviously, if you look at World War I, it was nothing more than a dirty little trade war fought by workers at either end of a bayonet. That's something people don't want to hear about. And obviously nobody wants to hear about the successful anti-conscription movement in World War I, which defeated two plebiscites that wanted to introduce conscription in this country that saved the lives of over 60 to 100,000 young Australians from being sacrificed on the European killing field for the glory of God, King and Country. Maybe that's an Australian value. There's a lot of other Australian values I'd like to add. But so what is an Australian value? Is an Australian value different to a human value? Is it how something different? Is the fact that we turn boats around that have refugees in them and have policies which ostracise people to Nauru and Papua New Guinea, is that an Australian value? Or that we have a legal system which can only be accessed by those people who've got excessive amounts of disposable income, while everybody else, you know, does what they can. Is that an Australian value? Is it an Australian value to allow the corporate sector, especially in the mining sector, to earn billions of dollars of profits, which could be channeled into the federal treasury? So we have a situation where we can't even pay adequately people doing essential work. Is that an Australian value? Or we don't even have the funds to ensure that people who access a public education or access public health don't get the same standard of care as those who've got the money to pay? Is that an Australian value? Is it an Australian value to allow the 1% that own 40% of this country's resources to continue to grow fat on the profits they make by exploiting this country's people? Is it an Australian value to have one third of Australians living on social security benefits, which basically means all they have is a hand-to-mouth existence for the rest of eternity? Is that an Australian value? Is it an Australian value to destroy public assets, privatise public assets, which provided money for the Treasury, which ensured competition in this country? Is that an Australian value? There's a lot of Australian values which we could incorporate into this little questionnaire that visa holders would have to fill out online, of course, to enter the country, the land of milk and honey, the greatest nation since time immemorial, unless you take out the United States of America. Well, what can I do? It's fascinating, isn't it? I know. There are 9 million people living in Israel, right? 9 million. 9 million. 9 million. That's not a lot. 9 million. Okay? And they seem to be holding the world as hostages. The number of deaths that have occurred in the Middle East have been extraordinary in the last 70 years. When we've got criminal elements which masquerade as governments in Israel, which is supported, I understand, by a majority of Israelis, if you can believe, you know, you can believe what you hear, you really wonder why we find ourselves in this situation in 2026. Because, see, there's no military solutions to this situation. Unless a state of Palestine is created, nothing will change. But what I find fascinating, and I'm sure you find fascinating, is the concept of international law. Now, a lot of learned people, much more learned than you and me will ever be, because obviously we don't have the capacity to be learned. Well, the fact is that a lot of learned people talk to me about international law. Now, when the United States of America and Israel started to bomb Iran, we were told it was against international law. And when Gaza was reduced to a pile of dust, when medical workers were targeted and killed, when over 73,000 Gazans were murdered, when 85% of that little enclave was reduced to rubble, we were told it's against international law. And when we see the Israeli armed forces invade southern Lebanon, and the minister responsible, I think the Minister of Defence, talks about the Gazanization of southern Lebanon, what that means is you destroy everything. Right? You destroy everything. And people tell me it's against international law. And I'm thinking to myself, what is international law? Now, if I go out of this studio and I'm stupid enough to rob a bank, because who would rob a bank in 2026? Computer fraud's the way to go, but that's a different story. And I got arrested because I'm so incompetent, right? And faced, there would be consequences. There would be consequences for my actions. So law without consequences is not worth the paper it's written on. And that's the problem with international law. It's not worth the paper it's written on. There may be understandings between different nation states, but in terms of something called international law, there are many academics who make their living, you know, teaching international law. The fact is, it doesn't exist. If there's one thing that the current dispute in the Middle East has taught us, is that international law is irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. It has nothing to offer. So there's no point mouthing those platitudes. For example, I'll give you an example. Both Israel, Russia, the United States, China do not have signed up to the Hague Convention in terms of prosecuting war criminals from their countries. None have not signed up to the convention. And when you see the destruction in Gaza, you begin to understand that international law is irrelevant. All that is relevant is how much force you are able to deploy against your enemy, in inverted commas. And if you've got the biggest bombs, the best planes, the biggest army, you don't have to worry about international law. It's irrelevant. Although there is some interesting things happening currently. Although the Washington buffoon is talking about a new round of peace talks with Iran, because obviously there's increasing pressure, even somebody as limited as him intellectually seems to understand. The fact is that freedom of navigation, you like that word? Freedom of navigation is something we all, well, I don't, but everybody supposedly believes in. And when we talk about Australia's, you know, relationship with the United States of America and the situation regarding Taiwan and, you know, and the islands, that the artificial islands that have been created, you know, in the Pacific, Australia sends its little warships through saying, we got freedom of navigation. And when the Chinese kind of go around Australia, every Australian gets a little bit upset, but freedom of navigation. Now that they've blocked the Strait of Hormuz, both sides, it's interesting what the other superpower on the planet is going to do. Because you see, the China buys 90% of the oil which is produced in Iran. So although electrification has been a major policy of the Chinese Communist Party over the last decade, the fact is they're still dependent on oil. And if a significant number arrives courtesy of Iran, cheap oil, not courtesy of Russia, the fact is they're going to get a little bit annoyed if this blockade continues. Because the blockade is not just a blockade against Iran and Iran's ports. It's a blockade against the Chinese government. Now, although the United States of America has over 856 foreign bases around the planet, including one in Greenland and two in Australia, China is only one. And it has a naval presence in Djibouti. Now, those of you who are familiar with the geography in the Middle East will know that Djibouti is not very far, one end of the Red Sea, not very far from the Strait of Hormuz. So what would happen if the Chinese government gets a little bit frisky and says, well, we're sick and tired of this buffoon. We're going to send in some ships to escort some Iranian bulk carriers of oil through the Straits of Hormuz. Will the Americans open fire on the Chinese vessels, saying there is no such thing as freedom of navigation? Do we see the beginning of World War III? I know it sounds impossible, but it doesn't take much. I know I'm doing a presentation tonight on that's the 15th of April, on the myths surrounding World War I, Australia's participation in World War I. And the fascinating thing is that nobody thought that World War I would begin. But because of these, all the alliances that the different sovereign nation states had, that when the Archduke of Ferdinand was assassinated by a Serbian nationalist, all these alliances fell into place. And we saw the beginning of this trade war, which resulted in the death of over 25 million people. But in that war, although there were some civilian deaths, the major deaths were from soldiers. So it doesn't take much in a world which has over 1,500 nuclear bombs, enough to destroy life seven times over on this planet. It doesn't take much for war to occur. And when you've got two so-called superpowers eyeing each other in terms of influence, it doesn't take much for all hell to break loose. So this is not World War I, where there were no nuclear weapons. 2026 is a different place. And once again, I'd just like to remind Australians, not that many Australians listen to The Anarchist World This Week, that our theoretical geographical isolation does not protect us anymore. And the fact that we are intertwined, and that's the key word, intertwined with the United States military digital industrial complex, means that we are a prime target in any conflict between the United States and China. And it doesn't take much with the type of weapons which are available in the world today to turn a city like Sydney or Melbourne or Adelaide or Brisbane or Darwin into ashes. It's not just about ashes, it's about the human cost. So isn't it about time that we started to look at this association? Because this association will only bring pain and suffering to an increasing number of people, not just on the planet, but in this country. And listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. Now, I like to think of the Australian Labor Party as the alternative Liberal Party. I mean, I've been on the planet for over almost 7.5 decades, and you tend to see a few things in 7.5 decades. And I've never seen the Federal Labor Party in a more powerful position. We've already wasted 1 year since the last federal election, almost 1 year. So what has the Alternative Liberal Party done with its overwhelming majority in the House of Representatives and a very sympathetic Senate, which is currently controlled by the Greens, which possibly will be controlled by a divided nation after the next federal election if they continue on their little merry way? The fact is, there is no time more ripe for flicking the finger at the 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication in this country. We have now reached a situation in this country where the organisations which provided some type of resistance to governments, like trade unions, have become almost irrelevant. Less than 12% of Australians are members of trade unions. Trade unions have lost the ability to hold a strike outside an enterprise bargaining agreement period. So we find ourselves in a situation in 2026 where the Alternative Liberal Party, masquerading as the Australian Labor Party, can and should be in a position to be able to come to an agreement with the Australian Greens, who now have the balance of power in the Australian Parliament, to pass legislation which stops the taps regarding corporate welfare. Remember the old robo-debt fiasco when the government acted illegally and nobody was ever charged? The fact is that in 2026, legislation can be passed through to Parliament because there is no real opposition to parliamentary politics in this country. Even divided nation is, you know, working on the parliamentary agenda. The fact is that the Alternative Liberal Party has the chance to make historic changes. Now, let's not forget, when the Labor Party was elected to office in 1972, in the space of 4 years, without a majority in the Senate, they passed over 250 pieces of legislation which have had a profound continuing impact on Australian society. I would not be broadcasting on a community radio station if it wasn't for the Whitlam-led Labor Party passing legislation to grant licences to community groups to create community radio in order to break the monopoly the Murdoch media at that stage had on discussion and ideas in society. You wouldn't be able to go to a bulk billing doctor today without the introduction of legislation which created Medicare, at that stage it was called Medibank, one of the greatest innovations since the introduction of pensions post-World War II in this country, that has had a profound impact on improving the health of an extraordinary number of Australians. Older Australians will tell you of the dignity of having to rock up to a public hospital and be charged, and if you couldn't pay your bill, of actually being interviewed in court about the fact that you couldn't pay your bill before they, you know, let you, you know, get on your way. Then we've got the no-fault divorce laws, which came through that legislation. Now, I could go on and on and on about the legislative agenda of the Whitlam-led Labor government, and we did, to mark the 50th anniversary on the 11th of November 2025. But the fact is, the Alternative Liberal Party, masquerading as Australian Labor Party, is in a position to make historic changes. It's in a position to ensure the wealth which is created through the exploitation of this country's mineral resources don't flow into the pockets of the Gina Reinhardts of the world, who then funnel their money into political parties like Divided Nation to ensure that people in this country never get together and never look at what are the reasons, the real reasons we find ourselves in this pickle. The real reason one third of Australians have to survive on Social Security benefit. The real reason why hard-working Australians who obey the law and pay their taxes are considered to be fools and idiots, while those who've got the money to manipulate the system to take advantage of the taxation-friendly laws for the rich and powerful to continue to improve their situation without assisting the rest of the country. We are in a difficult situation. There no longer is a trade union movement that can act as an organising focus in this country. What's left of it is nothing more than a rump of what was once a significant organisation within Australian society. So the problem is that it falls back on us, doesn't it? You and me. Little you and me. You know, some insignificant little ants like you and me running around saying, wake up, Australia. Wake up, Australia. And what we do today is we tend to keep our opinions to ourselves, don't we? We're concerned we're going to be ostracised or marginalised. And the fact is that people who keep their opinions to themselves are easily manipulated. So I'm not blaming you. But let's look at the real issues which confront us. Why do we have private charities raising money to send Australian children to public schools? Why do we have 35,000 registered Australian charities raising money to provide services that should be provided by government at the state and federal level? Why do we have governments at the state and federal level who continue to say we do not have the resources or the money to address this particular issue? And the fact is that for far too long, this country's parliamentary representatives, whether they're members of Divided Nation, the Alternative Liberal Party, the National Party, the Fossified Liberal Party, have allowed the 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication to determine the parliamentary agenda. I'll give you a simple example. You know, see, wars are good. Wars are good if you want to make a buck. If you're an investor, they can be really good. And I remember a very famous statement in World War One when they were raising money to fund the war, public subscription, and they were offering a higher rate of interest to investors in this war prospectus bond. And see, war makes money for a lot of people. Makes money for tons and tons and tons of people. And the fact is that the gas industry currently is making extraordinary amounts of money. Extraordinary amounts of money, courtesy of the Washington buffoons' attempts to solve the Middle East crisis by force. And there's been murmurings in Australian society, little murmurs, that we should introduce a super profits tax. Remember, last time somebody spoke about a super profit tax on the coal industry and the iron ore industry, Mr. Rudd. And what happened to Mr. Rudd? But the thing is, the Labor Party has an extraordinary majority in Parliament. It could pass that legislation tomorrow through both houses of Parliament. But it's more interested in running around trying to secure Australia's fuel supplies from our near neighbours to the north, Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei, than actually raising funds for this country by taxing those super profits tax. Having a super profits tax on the gas industry. I mean, we've reached the ridiculous situation in this country where there's not enough money and not enough gas to buy, there's not enough money to buy gas because it's so expensive, and we're seeing industries close down. That's right, close down. What an extraordinary situation we find ourselves in 2026. So ultimately, it's up to us to raise our voices. A protest, a letter, a talk to a neighbour, looking at the real issues. Why 28 million people living on a resource-rich continent have all the issues we have? When we've got the fossilised remnants of the Liberal Party talking about, you know, Australian values, when an Australian value, to me, the most important Australian value is that we all share in the wealth which has been created in this country, both First Nations people and ourselves. That is the critical issue. The critical issue isn't religion or gender or sexuality. The critical issue is about power and wealth. Power and wealth. That's why, as anarchists, we talk about power and wealth. Now, you've been listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is a podcast. There are hundreds of podcasts. You can actually access about 10 years of podcasts on Spotify. But if you go to the 3CR website, 3cr.org.au, put Anarchist World This Week, over 1,000 podcasts for you to access. Very simple. YouTube channels, I've got this Radical Historical YouTube channel, josephtoscano.nam. Another YouTube channel you may be interested in, where I do a 15 to 20 minute presentation every week on an important issue. And this week I'll be looking at Divided Nation, the fake messiahs. It's public interests before corporate interests. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489. 0439 395 489. You can email me at info@pibci.net. Public interest before corporate interest. You can join public interest before corporate interest online. Go to pibci.net. Public interest before corporate interest. I am interested in topics. If you've got any topics you'd like me to look at, I'm happy to try to look at them, not through artificial intelligence, not through Zoom, not through the World Wide Web, but using your knowledge and my knowledge to make sense of the world in 2026. And in many ways, it's no different to what it was 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Same problems, concentration of power and wealth in fewer and fewer hands. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. You can always leave a message on 0439 395 489. And believe it or not, I still answer letters. You can write, send messages or letters to Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. And if your local community radio station doesn't broadcast The Anarchist World This Week, ask the Committee of Management why not. Thank you for listening to The Anarchist World This Week. Listen in to The Anarchist World This Week on your local community radio station, courtesy of the Community Radio Network.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to The Anarchist World This Week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Brainwash minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.